You're listening to SBS Greek. I'm Nico Plaskasovitis, and today I've got with me Adriana. Adriana is a DJ, a creative producer, and one of the most exciting figures in NAM's music and art scene right now, I'd say. As a Greek Australian, she seamlessly blends her cultural heritage with contemporary sounds, creating experiences that push boundaries. Just a couple of weeks ago, she performed at Golden Plains Festival, where she stunned the audience by incorporating the Pontian dance group Akritas into her electronic set, a performance many attendees hailed as the highlight of the festival. Beyond her festival appearances, she also runs Spasta, a music event series in Melbourne that subtly incorporates Greek influences while embracing a broad, diverse soundscape. Adriana, hi.
Γιάσου, φίλε.
Τι κάνεις, καλά.
Καλά, ευχαριστώ. That was so beautifully said. Thank you so much, Nico.
Was that accurate?
I mean, I'll take all of it. That was fantastic. You make me sound amazing, so I won't complain.
Well, I guess the centerpiece of this interview and why I wanted to talk with you mainly was I just saw all these videos popping up online or being sent to me through friends about your performance with the Pontian dancers at Golden Plains Festival and like a 10, 15,000 people crowd just going crazy to it. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, firstly, it's just amazing how much of a reach that set had. Like, it went beyond the usual music community that I'm always playing to. So to hear people like yourself getting wind of it is just remarkable. But it was such a moment. It was something that I thought about as soon as I got booked for the festival 6 months prior. I just knew that, hey, you know, people know that I'm this Greek Australian, that my parties always have, like you said, that subtle Greek culture coming through. Why would I not emulate that on the big stage in front of 15,000 people who will appreciate and get it? And I thought, that's what separates me from every other act who's performing. Why would I not play on that? And so we went to Golden Plains. I said, hey, this is the idea. They loved it because I thought, yes, any opportunity we can bring some culture to our stage, you know, we're all about that. So yeah, they supported it from the get-go, and I'm so happy that Akritas Tou Pontou was so happy to fulfill that, yeah, idea that I had.
That's so good. That's so good. I wish I was there. I wish I was there to experience it firsthand. I'm going to do something a bit unorthodox now. So I've had my dear friend, Johnny, Auntie Johnny, send me some screenshots of a group chat that they were in during Golden Plains.
Here we go.
I'm just going to read a couple of comments, which I think are standing out. I'm not going to mention the names. She had us in the palm of her hand. She took everything we had. We had to go have a cold shower as soon as she walked off stage. Another person. I remember walking around and just asking everyone, what just happened? What just happened? I remember, quote, the greatest moment of my life, unquote, being thrown around a lot. We went back to the camp after your set because we didn't want anything to taint it. We just kept on the best vibe for hours. What's your take on all these comments? I mean, I don't want to mention the comments that go down in that crazy Golden Plays Meredith Facebook group. I didn't even bother going in that, to be honest, because I was like, no, I'm not stepping into that territory.
I know it's a bit of a labyrinth. Once you get in, it's hard to get out. But no, I literally have tears in my eyes because to hear the emotions that people felt in that 1 hour is just remarkable. I had no idea on that stage what kind of impact I was having. Truly, like, I was just being myself. I was being authentic. I did what I had planned. I showed up. I enjoyed every minute of it. But to hear these comments, to get messages for weeks on end, still to this day, with people saying it moved me. It was one of the most incredible experiences, not just of the weekend, but that I've experienced on a dance floor. It's just incredible just how impactful music and community and culture can truly be. And so I think a lot of people can think that maybe what I do could be quite surface level, but in reality, it can actually hit people quite deeply. And that to me is absolutely everything. And it's a reminder of why I'm on this trajectory and why it's so important to continue being myself and doing it the way that I just truly love to do it. And I'm just so appreciative that there's people there who get it and not just are receptive, but like invite it and welcome it. Like that's just so beautiful. So I feel so loved and appreciated. And yeah, I'm just so grateful.
Evidently, in this performance, you embrace your Greek heritage to its fullest. But do you feel, based on this feedback that you get, this continuous, like this never-ending feedback, as you say, this is bringing you closer, or like it drafts a new horizon for your creative journeys?
I think so. I think it's just affirming that I can go even stronger into that trajectory. Like, you know, with the next pasta, it's like, okay, let's include a few little Greek elements because people are loving this. So why not? Like, it just gives me so much more confidence to, yeah, continue shining a light on the core parts of who I am.
So what's your cultural background? Whereabouts in Greece are you roots from?
So we're from Northern Greece, so Macedonia. So very close to Florina, which mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are familiar with, but more specifically, Petres. And that's a really Petres. Small village. From some people rocks. Might know Amindio, which yeah. is like another village really close by. So, yeah, honestly, so close to the border. That's both sides of the family. So right. Dad was born in Greece, moved here when he was 19. Mum is first generation, but her mum is from the same village as my dad. So right. that is how they connected when Dad came to Australia.
So you're like yeah. 1.5 generation.
That's version. Right. Yeah. Like, am I first? Am I second? Let's meet in the middle. 1.5.
I love that. So how did, I guess, the Pontian influence play into that, you know, since you're like from the broader like area of Macedonia? I mean, obviously, like a lot of Pontians migrated to Macedonia after the genocide in today's northern Turkey. But how has that played out for you in this other side of the world?
Yeah, so for me, I don't have a personal connection to the Pontian people, but obviously it's dances that so many of us are familiar with when we're going to any kind of celebration, and they're the dances I really connect with and just have so much fun with. And so I thought, if I'm going to have anyone perform a Greek dance to people who don't fully understand or know what Greek music is, I want it to be the Pontians because I think they're just so performative. Their moves are so big. I love their costumes, and I just thought they're such a good representation for the Greek people. So that's why I went down that direction.
I guess for the Pontian group Akrites, like it's not really like they usually perform for like the 25th of March celebrations or like the Greek festival, Lonsdale Street or like Oakley Glendy or like those celebrations that they usually participate in. And all of a sudden you take them, you're like, let's get dressed up. Let's go dance on a doof. Let's go.
Yeah.
I guess most of them probably don't even understand what that is or they have an idea of what that is. And all of a sudden they find themselves on this huge stage with like 10, 15,000 people just looking at them. What was the response from the moment they get to the festival to like getting on stage and when they're talking about their experience afterwards as well?
Yeah, well, I had to do rehearsal with them for 2 weeks. So I was trying to even just explain, guys, like this is such a big deal. Like this is one of the biggest festivals in our industry, 15,000 people. And they're like, what? You know, we've never performed in front of that many people before. And I'm like, trust me, it's going to be epic, right? Then they get there and they're like, where are we? Because a lot of them had never even been to a music festival before, or at least something like that, right? It's such a diverse festival with the people that come, with the music that plays. So it was something so foreign to most of them. And, you know, their jaw dropped to the floor and they're like, oh my God, some people are barefoot out there. You know, they're like, where are we? Right? So, you know, I'm like, guys.
It's a cultural shock, but it goes both ways.
Absolutely. And, you know, I bring them backstage. I'm like, you know, we're in the green room and they're like, what? we have our own green room, we have a change room. They're like, we're not used to even having a room to get changed in. Like, they were just so blown away. We had all these sandwiches, fruit. I was like, help yourselves, guys. So, you know, they felt like royalty, which is awesome. I'm so happy that, you know, because they made such a big trek to come out there. But they said, you know, Adriana, like, the first dance was awesome, but that second dance was everything, because they opened the set and they closed the set. So when we opened, so when they opened, you know, that was a time where people were still coming back from the campsite. You know, there was still that transition phase. But by the end, you know, we had 15,000 people hooked on what was happening for that past hour. And when I devoted that last dance and performance to my late father as well, there was such a beautiful energy in that sup that everyone just like fully embraced, and they were like, what is going on? What are these dances? You know, and they could see the difference in people's responses, and they could feel the power of that many people. And they said that was truly one of the best experiences that they've ever had. So I'm just so happy it was worth it for them.
That's so beautiful. I feel like, yeah, it's rare for like a dance group like that to take such a stage. I think it's incredible and such important experience, I guess, also in the blending of cultures. Now I want to go a bit backwards. I know you had a show on PBS Radio called Opalakia, which started with a lot of Greek music, eventually turned into more like an Italo disco sort of energy. Now, I don't know if that's like a full cycle of yours, like in traversing perhaps the musical genres that exist out there. I guess my question is, how has hosting the show, Opalakia, shaped your understanding and appreciation of Greek music and culture, like this residency? Did it help you find new elements, have the time to research, and is that influencing you today still?
I think what Opalakia did more than anything else was give me permission to fully show who I am. So before that, I was very shy to showcase that part of my identity through music, because characteristically, Greek music isn't the coolest. Like, let's be honest, in terms of like the mass audience, they're not particularly perhaps understanding Greek music or finding it so readily as compared to Italo disco or Afrobeat, let's say. You know, it's more folky. It's very unique. It's quite polarizing, you could say, even. So what I wanted to do was be on a mission where I could bring it into my show and bring it into my sets in a way that made sense, that wasn't jarring. And in doing that, people could actually understand what it was and actually enjoy it for what it is. So PBS gave me that platform to do that. And so naturally I connected with a lot of Greek listeners who were like, wow, what the heck? Like, how am I listening to Greek music on PBS? Like, that was such a beautiful thing. But then also for those who weren't Greek, they were like, okay, this is something completely new and novel to me, but I'm really appreciating the way Adriana is layering this into her show. So, no, it was kind of like a two-pronged effect.
Yeah, it's a great balance for, like, making it accessible. Yeah, as you said, I do have a similar problem, I guess, in the musical space. Like, yeah, indeed, Greek music is, I mean, we have a different alphabet to start with. It's almost impossible to find. So when I share something with a friend, especially like a DJ friend or like a musical friend in general, they're just stunned by the wealth of music that comes after that. Like, you know, as a digging point to like just go and dive in and find this other music, which is, yeah, I think is beautiful. Now, you're also running an event series. I'd say it's within the electronic dance space called Spasta, which means break it in Greek. For our non-Greek listeners, what is Spasta? What are you trying to achieve with Spasta? What does it mean to you? What does it mean for your community? Because I know it's been going for a while now, right? And you have an upcoming show as well.
Yes, so the next one is coming up April 12th. But Spasta began as a club show, and it came at a time that I had just finished PBS. So I still wanted to be very much linked to the community that I had built over 5 years of running Opalakia. So this was my way of not only remaining connected, but showcasing what I was capable of. You know, I knew I was a DJ within the scene, but I wanted to be more than just a DJ. I wanted to host a space that encapsulated everything that I represent, including my heritage, as you know. So Spasta felt like such an awesome description of what the party represented, because as you would know, Nicole, you know, when you're at a party and you're feeling that euphoria, a lot of people just, they yell spasta, like, let's break it, you know? And it's that feeling of, let's break the old energy, let's welcome the new. And that is what this party is. It's good vibes. You know, I'm very proud of the community that myself and my manager's Fighting Figure have built. There's no pretentiousness whatsoever. Everyone there is for the music, for the good vibes, and for the people. And it, you know, it lights me up to see all the Spasta residents seeing one another on the dance floor, be like, oh, you're back. You know, because people are committed. Once they come, they want to come to every single one after that, because of the fact that it's so uniting, it's unifying, it's such a beautiful space. And with each show, it's been growing. So we went from local people in Nam to people interstate to overseas DJs to bands to moving the space from a nightclub to outdoors. And so the next one is the biggest one yet, which is, you know, a huge capacity. We've got Marcellus Pittman from Detroit, who's a pioneer when it comes to disco and house music. We've got Dean Chu, who's one of my favorite DJs from Singapore. So that's two international guests right there. We've got Ohani, who's an amazing local DJ, and myself. So that's happening at the RMIT Alumni Courtyard, which is a really sacred, beautiful space next to the old Melbourne Jail. So there's a lot of history there too. So I think it's something gorgeous to see this like really new and modern dance party happening in a space that has so much history and stories that are coming through just by being there and visually seeing what's taken place around you. So it's such a juxtaposition, I would say.
Now, I know for a fact that Greeks and Greek Australians by extension can get a bit awkward when you wake up one day and you say, Mom, Dad, I want to be an artist, or I want to find my creative path. And they're like, oh, become a lawyer, become a teacher, become a doctor, et cetera, et cetera. How did you navigate that?
Yeah, such a beautiful question, because that's absolutely what happened to start with. So I was always on the path to become a health professional, really. Yeah. I was studying different sciences for like 12 years at university level, because I always knew that I loved people. I always wanted to help people. And so I thought, hey, that has to be through science. You know, that's what made sense. I was very intellectual at school. I was quite book smart. And, you know, you follow a certain path for various factors. And for me, it was, yes, I was interested in that, but also I knew it was something that would gain me the love and acceptance of family, of society. So all these things were subconsciously playing out. But during that path of my studies, I was also loving music, and it happened so organically. You know, music was huge on like music blogs. And so I started to discover that there was so much more than just your commercial radio stations, that there was this whole underground scene of music that had local artists, international artists that I could start tuning into through platforms like Twitter. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is my thing. I didn't have any other friends into music at that time. And thanks to Twitter, I started to make some connections. And then those connections were learning to DJ. They were going out. And so I just followed suit. I thought, this is cool. So I started learning and practicing at home. My friends go, why aren't you playing out? You've been practicing long enough. And I was like, what? Like, I never thought about being a professional DJ, earning money from this thing. And so I started, I thought, oh, God, is this for me? Like, these late nights, like, this is full on. But it happened so slowly that I was playing bar gigs for ages. And then I started doing an announcer course at PBS. And so then I did feels on PBS. So it was a really slow trajectory. But because I was enjoying it, because I loved the community so much, and I felt like, this is me, this is who I am, I finally found my place in the world. It was something that I kept leaning into. And it was like, oh, people are recognizing me for this and saying that they like what I'm doing. Like, that gave me confidence to keep following that joy and to take it more seriously. And so then I started setting goals for myself, and I kept pushing myself to go to the next level, which meant to get a show on PBS, which meant to start getting bigger gigs. And then it's like, okay, wow, like, why am I doing these science degrees? And then I had to start really being honest with myself. And it wasn't until COVID that I really like finally said, okay, full transparency. The reason I did all these degrees is because of past decisions. It wasn't truly what I wanted in that moment. And it was because of fear of what the future might look like. It's like, no, you have to have the successful, reputable job, right? So I finally gave my position, myself permission to be myself, and I took serious music really seriously. And now I'm just strictly throwing my parties, DJing, doing fills still on PBS, and just giving it a real red hot go. I'm still at a good age to do all of these things. I can still, go out late and it not impact, family. It's very hard once you have children and things, it's much harder. So I'm just making the most of it now that I can, and I'm in a really good position as well. So I'm just riding this wave and loving every minute of it.
Totally. Well, I guess coming back to the initial question, I just wanted to hear more about the nuances, perhaps, like your family's response getting into this journey. Have they like fully supported you? Have they like, were they skeptical in the beginning? Were they, how has this relationship played out?
So my mum was definitely skeptical because of the fact that I was studying for so long, and she felt like I was kind of throwing that away. But over time, the more I invited her to my events.
So she's been coming to the events, having a dance.
Absolutely.
So
So
good.
now she is connected to what I am doing, and she fully appreciates and understands it, because I think it's so easy as a parent to imagine that this industry that I'm a part of is just partying, drugs, crazy late nights, and think, well, my kid is just throwing their life down the
You
drain,
just have
right?
to say, like,
But
Mom, I'm doing a panigiri here. Some people need like
we've got lamb on the
panigiri.
spit, don't worry. No, but once she started coming, and it's like all my parties and gigs, they're all like in the daytime. You see that the crowd is majorly like 25 plus year olds. People truly appreciate what I'm doing. And she could understand that this isn't actually what I thought it was. This is actually really awesome and meaningful. And so many good people are out here truly connecting with and appreciating with what my daughter does, right? And so her perception changed. And I was, really grateful that my late father started coming out, during that last year that he was alive. He started coming to my gigs and he was like, Adriana, you've got the best thing going, because he could see himself just how awesome it was. And that was when I was saying, I don't know if this is for me, the late nights. I think I'll give it up. And he said, don't you dare. He's like, don't you see how awesome this is for you? Don't you see how much you love it? How many good people are surrounding you? Why would you ever give that up? So many people are looking for that thing and you found it. Why would you ever give that up? And so, yeah, along the way, both of my parents, I think my dad always was accepting of it, but didn't quite understand it until he saw it. Whereas my mom wasn't as accepting, but then once she also saw it, was like, okay, I get it now. So no, I'm very blessed to be in a really good position where, your Yampa come to Spasta, the whole family. It's awesome.
Oh, your Yambapu came
The
too.
Yampa are residents now. Everyone loves the Yampa. Go up to them. They want the full DMs.
I
They're
love
like
that
celebrities, I'll
trademark.
tell you.
Oh, I'd love to see that one day. I'd really love to see that one day. Now, Adriana, last question here. Would you have any, well, what kind of advice would you give to emerging artists, especially Greek Australian or Cypriot by extension Australians? Who are trying, to find the voice and make an impact specifically in the music world, what advice would you give them?
I think to follow your intuition and the ideas that come to you, especially those ideas that never leave your subconscious or that rise to your consciousness, because I think that we all planted these seeds for a reason, and we have the specific ingredients that can bring them to fruition, that can make them grow. But it's up to us to actually nurture those ideas that come to us. So, we can leave them dormant and let somebody else pick up those ideas and they can run with them. We say, oh my God, I thought of that, but I never did anything about it. Or you can just, put your energy put love into it and see what will come with it, you know, because I think that's where the real magic happens. So trust your intuition, trust your joy, follow the light in life, and you'll be, I think, a very fulfilled person who will find your people and, you know, find what's meant for you.